This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasuthi. A fruit orchard and farm located at the foot of Jugra Hills, Kebun Kaki Bukit, is the labor of love of Muhammad Arafat Sharipuddin, an urbanite turned organic farm owner. He joins me now to share his journey of starting Kebun Kaki Bukit and his vision of sustainable farming. And I understand he's moved on to Kuala Selangor now. He's here to tell us his story. Welcome to the show, Arafat. How are you today?
Thank you for having me here.
You were an IT. You had a job in IT, right? And it was a desk job. And you threw it all job. And you threw it all to go out and work as an organic farmer. Why is that?
Well, I guess it, I get frustrated and tired of the city life, of working a 9-to-5 job, and I kind of lost the appetite after a few years working in the city, and then I just decided to find an alternative way of life, and that is much more fulfilling and rewarding to me.
How did you stumble upon organic farming or sustainable farming?
I started with a good friend of mine who went to a PDC course. It's a permaculture design course, and he got me into this, and from then on I just started the journey of trying to become an organic farmer.
What is it that, you know, that got you so interested in? What is it about organic farming? Well, I mean, it's hard work.
Yeah.
You've got to, you know, roast in the sun. You've got to, you know, it's hard work, really.
Yeah. But after I quit my job, I was looking for an alternative lifestyle. And there's a few that I found out. And then I went out traveling. And then I stayed at organic farms and sustainable community. And I find myself to be like this is what I should do in my life, and I feel very comfortable with that, this kind of lifestyle. It's hard work, but most of the time you don't really feel like you're working. Mm-hmm. You are just out there doing it, you know.
What is it about the city lifestyle that, now in hindsight, what is it that wasn't fulfilling for you?
It's the hectic and the tight schedule, and it's like a race. It's almost like a competition with everyone, and it gets tiring after a while for me. Yeah.
What sort of research did you have to undertake before you went into organic farming?
From a good friend of mine who gave me some of the insight in organic farming, and then also I went to a few short courses before I undertake this project on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And then online and YouTube and all this stuff, and it's really fun to see that when you plant something and then it grows,
the
and
fruits
then
of your labor.
Right, yes, and you just feel like it's like
all worth the effort.
Yeah.
But were you not afraid? I mean, it was going to take you a while to set up a farm. It was going to take you a while before you saw money coming in. How did you plan for that?
I would say it was a bold decision, because at first I didn't really think so much about the economy and how it will, you know, generate money for me, but I guess certain naivetes in this kind of
situations.
Yeah, maybe. But
not to worry too much about it.
Yeah, not to worry too much about it, and I also believe that if you really like what you're doing, you'll do it in the best way you think possible, and it will come.
You've been in this for one and a half years now.
1.5 years, I would say, yeah. All right. Because we had the other farm before Kuala Selangor for 5 months, and then it got too expensive to rent it, and it's a beautiful place, very nice. It's by the foot of the hill, hence the name, Kebun Kaki Bukit. Kebun Kaki. Yeah, it was right at the foot of the hill of Jugra Hill, and but then we move out because I just can't afford it anymore, me and my partner David.
Yes, tell me about David. David Mark, who I read David also Mark happens to be your property agent.
So the
rental shouldn't have been a problem, actually.
he's my property agent for a house in Kuala Lumpur where I used to rent, and now we're partners, and well, he scouted around for land, and he found Jugra, and then well, we tried to start something there because the place was just too good to let go. and then it started out, our relationship started out in just informal conversation when I was moving into the house that he's the agent of. So
David doesn't get involved in the day-to-day running of the farms?
He is. Well, the first year, no, because he didn't live in the farm. But now he's much more involved in it. Mm-hmm. But he's on the economy side of it. He tried to find marketing and, try to get the produce out to sales. And well, so he's also organizing group tours to the farm and stuff like this. Right. Yeah.
When you said that it was more expensive to rent the mm-hmm. place yeah. in Jograi, and you yeah. had to move to Kuala Selangor.
Yeah.
Is that the highest cost? Would you say the cost of renting the land?
It is because if you don't own the land, a lot of people will get discouraged because they don't own the land because you have to rent. But I just really want to do something.
How big a piece of land do you need to establish an organic farm?
Depends on your goals, mm-hmm. I would say. If you want just a homestead and 1 or 2 acres is fine. But if you want some economy going, you need a space to try new stuff and at the same time have to pay for the rent and everything, you probably need 5-6 acres and of good land that you can have vegetation on, fruit and stuff.
Where did you start with?
At the farm now.
In Jugra,
when we move in, there was dragon fruit.
Mm-hmm. And over how big a piece of land?
The whole property in Jugra was 40 acres.
40.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a lot.
That's a lot. It includes a hill.
Nice. Yeah. And,
dragon fruit is about 10 acres.
And wow.
Yeah. So we move in and then we generate a little bit of money from the sales of this dragon fruit. But it turns out it's not enough for us to pay the rent, and we are having to
you're making pay losses. More.
Yeah, right. We're making losses and okay. we have to absorb it. So we decided it's not healthy for in the long run.
But there's this perception that organic farming is costly anyway.
Is it
a misconception?
It's just more work, and you have to do a lot of
laborious
work because if you want to make pesticide, for example, a natural pesticide, you need to find your own materials. There's a lot of things that you need to mix up to make one natural pesticide, and it's time consuming because you have to keep trying, and the result you can only see it after a while, and before you see the result, before you know which one is good, you are incurring losses. So this is why I would say it's expensive mm-hmm. when it goes to the consumer. So it's just more work and time consuming, and
Okay, that. So that's where your cost really lies.
Yeah.
And then you decided to move to Kuala Selangor.
Yeah.
What made you decide to pick Kuala Selangor of all places? Cheaper land?
Yeah, it's
priority.
That's the most obvious reason because, I didn't know Kuala Selangor at all before I moved in there. I think I went there once and I never decided to stay there or do something there, but it's just the cost of the land is the main factor, and also the existing fruits and the amount of land that we can get at that price that okay. we are paying now. So it just makes more sense to move there.
But fertile land is so hard to find. Does it matter with organic farming?
You can build the land.
That takes time once again.
That takes time, yeah, but we're pretty much surrounded by palm oil in Malaysia. And
exactly.
And that's the biggest challenge, I would say, for us at Kebun Kaki Bukit, because we're surrounded with heavily fertilized chemically.
Exactly.
And they use pesticide, they use all kinds of chemical product, and and all these bugs, they need to go somewhere, and they will just come to the farm because that's the only place that is.
It's a haven.
Yeah.
The sanctuary.
But that's the challenge that we have to face.
Oh, that's a huge challenge.
Yeah, that's quite huge, and I myself find it very difficult at the beginning, but with a good support system, it can work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
And it's well, we're moving along the direction that we want now, and we got good support from the landowner who's really into organic farming, and he rented the land to us at a very low price, and he's also very supportive. He gave us stuff that we need, so this helped us in terms of the cost and everything.
What constitutes organic?
Because
as you
chemical free.
That's true. But if I'm just thinking right at the back of my head, if you're surrounded by palm oil estates, then there's no guarantee that you have leachate coming from that land, and the leachate would be of some sort of chemical in it as well.
Yeah.
Your water source would probably be affected as well. So you have a lot going against you.
Yeah. I can't deny that, but
it's working out so far.
Well, not 100%. We still have pest problem. We still have fertilizing problems. Sometimes the trees doesn't give out as much fruit as we want it to give, but as we face this problem, we are also enriching ourselves in the knowledge of farming, and it's sort of a balance.
How long does it take usually before you find that balance? How long did it take you in Jugra?
In Jugra, 4 months, but it's not entirely. I'll give you an example with Selangor because I spend longer time here in Kuala Selangor.
Mm-hmm.
Right at this point, there are still some pests that we
How
did.
Long has it been?
It's been 1 year in Jugra.
Wow.
In Kuala Selangor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been a year. And we're
still working on it.
Yeah, we're still working on it.
Making progress.
Making progress, I would say. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So all hope is not lost then.
Yeah, it's not.
And man,
and
I tell you
what. I've heard of a lot of farms that they took them 3-4 years just to make it a solid, you know, system for them to work.
Especially when you have a lot going on against you.
Against me, and I don't have any farming background, so there's a lot of trial and error, and we're just trying out stuff. And
does one need to have a farming background?
No, no, I don't think so. One just need to really want to do it. You know, the will and the determination, because it can get pretty tough and challenging.
And it works. I'm sure it will.
Yeah, hopefully.
We're discussing organic farming at Kebun Kaki Bukit. Muhammad Arafat Sharipuddin in the studio with me. Yeah. Finding out more about how he, you know, got his hands dirty in organic farming. And you guys having or organizing your first mud house building workshop.
Yes.
We'll come back and
find
out more up next. If you have a question for him, send it through 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasodhi. We have Muhammad Arafat Sharipuddin in the studio with me. He's the co-founder of Kebun Kaki Bukit. We're discussing organic farming at this place. I mean, Arafat actually worked on a piece of land, a huge piece of land actually, in Jugra before it did not become viable anymore because of the cost of land or rental. And they've moved now to Kuala Selangor. It's been a year. Surrounded by palm oil plantations, trying to get an organic farm up and going. I can imagine it's really an uphill task, but you're still persevering. What was the initial investment on your part like? Because for those of us who are interested in going into organic farming, is it a costly affair?
Land.
Once again.
Yeah, land. If you have a land, then you can just start, I would say.
What about labor? As you said, because it's so much more labor intensive.
Yeah.
Don't you need your source of labor? And where do you
get...
Yeah,
we do.
The manpower
from. If you're going to start on your own, it will be terribly difficult. Mm-hmm. But and I get help from volunteers. We started a volunteer program. And we get people from all over the world to come and help us at the farm, and they contribute ideas. These are these volunteers are mostly people with the same ideas. Mm-hmm. They want to see the same changes in the world. So they have exposed themselves in organic farming and sustainability in terms of lifestyle. So by having these people around me, they give you energy, support, and also the labor work.
Were there times when you felt you just wanted to give up?
No.
Not yet. Knock on wood, no.
I hope not.
No, I hope not too. Yeah. Because you know what? We need more people like you. Are there bylaws and laws in Malaysia that governs the practice of organic farming?
Yeah, there's a scheme that is monitored by this agriculture department. And they will send their representative and they will test your soil every once in a while, and it will take 2 years before you are officially an organic farm.
A certified
organic farm. And they, it all depends largely on how you take care of the soil, mm-hmm. and what's in your soil and what you do to balance it out back, you know, to become a fertile and chemical-free land.
Right.
So maybe the use of manure and all this stuff.
Right. Where do you get your raw materials from?
From farms around the farm. There's a
chicken farm.
A chicken farm where we get our chicken dung from, and there's a cow farm where we get our cow dung from, and a rice
fields,
and a rice planting rice meal.
You use the husk.
Yeah, so we use the husk to in most of the things that we do.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And So this is free, but it's laborious.
It is, because you need to organize logistics to transport the waste and stuff. So
and
that
you
is
also
cost.
Have to like shovel it. Yeah, shovel it. It's really fun,
chicken
actually. It's not that bad, really. It's not that bad.
Come on, Arafat. Chicken dung can be nasty.
No, yeah. if it was left there for a few years, but if it's fresh, it's not so bad.
Yeah. Okay. It releases a whole load of ammonia. Am I correct?
Yeah.
And that sort of can be quite overwhelming. When it comes to vegetables and fruits, what are you planting in Kuala Selangor at the moment?
At this moment, we have long beans, we have French beans, pineapple, lime, calamansi, sugarcane, mangoes, jackfruits, soursop, there's a few more, guava, and a few pomelos, and then just vegetables for our own consumption.
How do you market your products? Because you're not certified yet.
Yeah, we're not certified yet, so we can't really go out to people and tell them, oh, this is organic stuff. But we sell it to the market around Kuala Selangor. There's two markets and then a few restaurants around Kuala Selangor. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we send it to Kuala Lumpur. We're trying to get more affiliates from with organic shops around Kuala Lumpur.
Right.
And yeah, it's the market is bigger in Kuala Lumpur in the big cities, of course.
You get better prices as well.
Yeah, and you get better prices as well, and they know it's organic. If they will ask you, most shops they will like have a few questionnaires, you know, before they take your products. But and then if you start serving them well, then it will work.
That's what I've realized. A lot of marketeers, people who try and organic farmers, their customers are usually people who it's
understand.
Based on trust.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of it is based on trust. Faith, and confidence in you.
Yeah.
More than anything else. As long as I believe that you're being as organic as possible, then I will buy my stuff from you.
Yeah.
Do you think certification plays a big role, though?
I think so, yeah, because it's not easy for you to get one, and it's they are monitoring what you're doing for a certain period of time, and this will ensure your sustainability and organic practice in the farm, and I think it's really.
How did you decide which fruits and vegetables to plant?
In Kuala Selangor, in our case, when we move in, there's already a few fruit trees. Mm-hmm. So on the crop, vegetable crops, it's about trial and error. We try a lot of different kinds of vegetables, and then we'll see which one is less susceptible to pests, so it gives us less headaches. And
do you not get any support from Ministry of Agriculture?
We do get their advice, but that's largely that's generally it. They come to they've been to the farm twice, just to, you know, monitor and see what we do, and they give us advice, and that's it.
But do you wish you had more support?
More in terms of the solution. That's what I think will be very useful for all organic farmers.
As far as growing is concerned?
Yes, because I think growing is pretty much, it's not a big problem because we get sun and rain all the time. But even when you face problems, this is when you want, you know, quick solution. And
problems such as pests?
Yeah, because problems such as pests and you know, sometimes certain vegetables, it takes longer than it usually is, for many reasons, and this is when you want people with experience to come in and you know, give you some of the small insight tips, because the agriculture department, it's there's one in every district. Yes. And from they know what kind of problems this, you know, this districts have, because each place is a bit different in terms of the pests and the all the other troubles that you know, nature stuff, rain and all this thing, too much sun and all this kind of stuff. But they can help you with this.
Right.
So if you want to do this, if you want to find out yourself, it will take some time. And this will, of course, set you back for your economy.
So the recent floods and the excessive rain that we have, did that affect you?
We do get a lot of rain. Little bit of flooding in a few parts of the farm, but apart from that, it's not so bad.
Did it affect the growing of fruits and vegetables?
Not so much.
Not really.
Yeah.
Do you plan for things like this in the farm?
Now I feel the need to, because honestly, yeah. Because before I know it's gonna, well, we get sun and then rain, but I never thought that it would be that, you know, catastrophic.
Yeah.
But now, yeah.
Do you think one day you will be self-sustainable in that everything will be contained in the area? I mean, you will be able to, you know, make your own fertilizer with what's available nearby, pesticides.
Yeah.
You will have your market nearby. You will have...
This
is a self-sustainable community. Do you think you'll reach that stage?
This is what we are working towards. And this is the main goal. And we also want to have a demo farm of sort, where we do everything sustainable and organically, and, you know, the stuff that works, so that everyone in the surrounding area community can come and learn, and they can do this in their house or something like that.
Joe's already asking. Joe says, I have 2,000 square feet of empty land. What is the first thing that I can do? 2,000 square feet, not a very big piece, but...
Well, what's his name again?
Joe.
Joe need to find out what he really wants out of the land. And if he really wants to turn it into some really money-making farm or money-making...
2,000 square feet, you can't do very much. Let's just say for your
own homestead
consumption.
I would say a homestead, where you can have a little bit of... You can build a house, and then you can have your vegetation around you and a little bit of animal rearing going on, and a processing center for all your for all the produce, and you can generate income by making products out of what you grow and what you rear, and then
should we really be thinking about making money at this stage?
No.
Exactly.
No. I'd say no.
I think it's a lifestyle.
Yeah, it's more of a lifestyle that you should embrace. And actually, if you really do it right, you don't have to depend so much on money for food anymore. You just need some money to, I don't know, to travel or do stuff that you really want to do. But in terms of food, you are pretty much secured.
Really?
If you do it right, I mean, if you have your own produce, if you have your vegetable, if you have some animal for meat, if you have some animal for milk, and you can make dairy products, and this is pretty much involved in your daily cooking every day. And you just, maybe you need to buy oil. Or you can even make oil.
If you want,
yeah, yeah. So everything is possible if you really want to, you know, do it.
I've always been concerned of one thing,
mm-hmm.
the water source.
Okay.
Right.
For us at the
Let's
farm...
Let's just say, you know, everything comes to a standstill. I mean, mm-hmm. God forbid. and it does, right?
Yeah.
And if you have something going like this yeah. in your backyard or, yeah. you know, you have a yeah. little bit of space, water mm-hmm. is going to be the most difficult
yeah.
source.
Yeah. Yes. You can harvest rainwater and you can have a bore, a well.
Are we not allowed to have wells? Are we allowed to?
We are, I suppose.
Maybe yeah. not. I don't think we're allowed to everywhere, but...
yeah, not everywhere.
Because, you need yeah. to check whether you have a water mm-hmm. table nearby and...
But the simplest system to harvest water is by just...
Rainwater,
mm. yeah. We get plenty of it in Malaysia. And, you just need a big storage and
exactly.
you're set, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. rainwater harvesting is really
yeah.
the solution.
Yeah.
So, you are now set to organize your mm-hmm. first mud house building workshop. What is this?
Yes, we're trying to build a mud house, which is a house made completely out of mud. And it's a mix of mud, a bit of sand, a bit of fibers, which you can find in straws or rice husks, and also dried grass.
And what's the purpose of the mud house?
We're trying to demonstrate sustainability and that you can actually use the resource around you to build a shelter for yourself, and it doesn't cost you a lot of money, and you just need a little bit of exposure to this, and you can try to do it at your home. And also by building a mud house, you are very much connected to nature. Like you, it's very personal, mud house, because most mud houses are built by hand. So all the curves, all the sides, all the designs are you. So you feel much more connected to the earth around you.
I've always wondered, how big is it inside? Because I've seen a ton of these
depends.
In India.
Yeah, I was in India and I helped them build.
They have tons house. Of them, right?
Yeah, and it can be in many sizes. It can be big, it can be small.
Mm.
And it's also, it's durable. It lasts so long, almost a long time, almost forever.
Where do you get the mud from?
We get the mud from the farm, right next to the site that we're going to build. So the resources are sourced out locally. It's all from around the farm.
Okay.
The main material are mud, which is we get right at the farm. And we get a little bit of kayu bakau for the roof trusses. Mm-hmm. And then...
kayu bakau is mangroves, isn't it?
Yeah, mangroves. Yeah. Yeah, mangrove trees. And the roof, we're building a grass roof. And it's just soil and grass on top, and this helps.
And it withstands control. The rain and all of that?
Yeah.
The sort of torrential rain that we have?
Yeah, it's supposed to hold.
Because
the place that from my experience, yeah.
Have you lived in one?
I've stayed in one of them, and it's really nice.
What's it like?
It's
Can you stand?
Of course.
The ones in India look so tiny. You can stand.
I've helped. To build a double-story house, a double-story mud house for a young couple in India. And
nice.
It works out very fine. And
do you need
really
air conditioning?
Nice. No.
Electricity?
No. Solar. Or
and so all of that is taken into account in the design?
Yeah.
So it's solar.
Yeah. It's passive. And
toilets? Very important.
It's just outhouse. And you can have...
Just outhouse.
You can just have a dry toilet. And this can also be a cycle that you can demonstrate.
Yeah.
You know, you eat your stuff and then you excrete and then you turn that into a fertilizer.
Yes, and I spoke to an organic farmer in China who says they convert human feces to fertilizer.
Yeah.
And it is approved by the WHO.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
We have an Arbaloo toilet at the farm now.
What is that?
Which is a dry toilet. Mm-hmm. It's actually a hole. And then you just poop inside. A hole in the ground. And then, well, it requires a certain depth and a certain width.
Yep.
But this is to inoculate the excrete. And in times, you can use it as fertilizer.
Wow.
And I think it's a really brilliant cycle because because it just go back around. It's a closed loop system.
Which is very different from the city life.
Yes, it is, of course.
Because in the city,
very different.
Because in the city, you always need input.
Yes.
And then if you want something, you need to buy, you know, and this requires money or, you know, energy and stuff. But if you practice this sustainability cycle, it just works for you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what one of the key reason that really attracts me to this, because to me, if I can do something like this, it's like, wow.
Do you think this is something we will eventually have to get used to, because we're running out of resources.
We are used to it. Oh, sorry. Back in the days, this is what a lot of people practice, but then we lose it somehow through modernization and industrialization, yeah. Commercialization of certain things, and then after a few generations, we just completely forgotten about it. And it's a process of relearning back what our ancestors have been doing very well, I would say, before. And this helps a lot, because now all the resources are depleting in the world. And by having something like this, for your own effort, and it's like you're creating your own, a cycle or a place.
The questions here for you, Arafat. Who should we go to for advice if the land is suitable for agriculture or not?
Ministry of Agriculture.
Did you consult ministry before you bought
before
the
before No, we actually went, because in our case, the main drive for this decision to start at Kuala Selangor is the money. Before we start doing anything, we get the Ministry of Agriculture to send their representative and see, you know, and do a few of tests. And this is very swift, usually. And they will just tell you if it's okay, if it's not, what you can do to, you know, actually get it going.
Okay. Yeah. So there is advice. You can go
there
and consult.
Yeah, yeah.
Melvin Tong says he's seen your Kebun Kaki Bukit Facebook page, and he says great stuff. He's seen a similar model done in Canada about the eco loo, the aquaponic tank, the mud house, the volunteers, etc. But Melvin's also saying he just bought 2 acres of farmland in Lengeng in Negeri Sembilan.
Okay.
He asks if you charge for consultancy work to kickstart the farm, and would you mind paying them a visit?
It will be a good honor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
we would like to get more people into this, and the more people we find, is it's much more beneficial for everyone.
Yes.
Because we can always share tips and produce and make a good network.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So you can contact us, Melvin.
Via Facebook
or send us an email.
Okay, yeah. Wonderful. So do that. Get in touch with Arafat via Facebook. Would you like to leave us with a message, Arafat, for all of us who are listening today? And I'm already thinking, I don't want to go out in the sun.
You don't want to go out, or you want to?
I don't want to go out in the sun and roast in it.
But you can start a small.
I wouldn't mind doing it.
Yeah, in your balcony. No, container. Yeah,
so for all of us living in the urban area,
how
do we start?
Start small, I would say, yeah.
How do I start small?
If most of us live in an apartment or a house with a few space where you can start to grow, you don't need big lands. You can have a container farm, you know,
styrofoam. No.
Many stuff. You can use many stuff. Styrofoam is a good choice, because if you don't use it, it's just gonna go to waste, and it takes a long time for it to rot.
To biodegrade. Yeah.
Yeah, to biodegrade. So if these sources are available to you, you can start. And just simply by growing a few easy vegetables, like water spinach, bok choy, and this is the stuff that we use
start
every
for
day.
For your own consumption.
Yeah, start for your own, and then it's
the extras to the neighbors.
Yeah, a surplus, and you can share it, and you can also if your community is very active, you can also have certain people to plant certain vegetables, and you plant a certain one, and then you can have a meeting at the end of the week, just exchange these vegetables. It creates a very strong bonds between the community that we seem to
lack these
lack
days.
In the city. Mm-hmm. And then it will also save a lot of money.
I'm sure. And the cost of vegetables today, yes, Arafat, is shocking.
It's shocking, yeah.
It really
and,
is shocking.
If everybody is doing it, then you don't have to worry so much about your food source, and you get very good vegetables, and it's fresh.
One last question. Where do you get your seeds from?
My seeds.
The seeds for vegetables and fruit.
Yeah. We bought some of them, and we also get some from a few small organizations and groups that we join. So this is the source, and you can also we trying to organize like a seed swap events and meetings sometimes, but it has to be strictly organic seeds. And this is how you get more seeds.
So I suppose get on to the community online, the organic farming community online, and you'll be able to. There's a lot going on, isn't there?
There's a lot going on. On Facebook and a few organizations have their own websites and stuff. And you can keep in touch with them, join their newsletter, and they will tell you when the event will be held. And you can just take part.
So for the mud house building workshop, when is the deadline? When is it?
It's on the 7th and 8th and 14th and 15th. It's held over two weekends. February, yes. Because we would like as much people to join. We kept it at 15 because we don't want it to be like
too much.
Yeah, the masses. But we do it all over weekends, so it's easier for people to come and stay at the farm and experience a little bit of the...
Where do you stay?
There's a campsite. Okay. And we also have... dormitories, and children can also come. You can bring your young ones, and so that they can start young, give them a little bit of exposure. We enjoy having kids at the farm. And
is there a deadline to register, and do we have to pay for it?
Yeah. Well, the deadline is on the 3rd of February because it starts on the 7th, and you have to pay 380 ringgit fees because this money goes to your food and also to pay the tutors that are going to teach. The course will be taught by a Frenchman and an American.
Okay. Yeah. And the food
and
is all going to be organic.
Yeah, the food is organic. And it will be prepared in the communal kitchen at the farm.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. Thank you very much for joining us. Would you like to leave us with a message?
Thanks for having me. A message. If you...
Get your hands dirty.
Yeah. I think it's time for everyone to start paying good attention to their food source. And growing your own food is one of the simplest and the most straightforward ways for you to know your food source. And I'd say just start as small as small, big, it doesn't really matter, but in the balcony you can do stuff too. And you can have a community garden around the place where you live if you don't really have time, but you really enjoy doing, you really want this in your life, and you can organize a few, maybe weekends, gathering for, you can have a small plot of land in your community center around where you live. I'm sure all housing areas in Kuala Lumpur have this, like a spot that is not being used, but you can turn this into a food garden.
Thank you very much for joining us today. Okay. Very inspiring indeed. I mean, I'm just thinking already of how I can start maybe planting biome. Something that
it's
we
really
consume,
easy.
All
you,
of us.
You just throw it on the soil, on the bed, and it will grow.
It grows very easily. Thank you for joining us.
Welcome.
That was Muhammad Arafat Sharipuddin, a co-founder of Kebun Kaki Bukit on organic farming. If you'd like to get in touch with them, once again, that Facebook page is facebook.com/...
Kaki Bukit Jugra.
Kaki Bukit Jugra.
Jugra,
okay, that's fantastic. Yeah. On the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.